Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 1 and reading verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So for the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, last week we looked at the genealogies that Matthew provides. Manuscript, of course, I had Matthew and Luke to read, but we only read one. But in the sermon, of course, I referred to both of them. And so you might have been confused since we only read Matthew and he only goes back to Abraham, but actually it did go back all the way to Adam, right? So Luke's genealogy does take us all the way back to Adam himself. So it does incorporate all of humanity then with respect to the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore with respect to the receiving of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just for a certain nation, the Jews, for example, since they have their beginning with Abraham. No. It's for all nations, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the son of Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, of course, were the parents of all the nations of the world. And so Christ and his salvation is for all nations. But coming back to Matthew, we know that Matthew gave this three-part genealogy, and he stresses that. That he goes from Abraham to David, and then from David to the exile, and then from the exile to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were these three sections that he divided the genealogies into. And when we look at those genealogies, we see that on the one part, that the promise was of a son. And so all of those people that are referred to in that section all had this problem about having children. And yet God gave them a child. But then the second part is all about the kings, from David to the exile. And so there was a problem about the kings. But what did God promise? God promised a king. But then after the exile, there was a problem, of course, because they were unfaithful and breaking the covenant. And they broke the covenant. And God finally put them out of the land, just like Adam and Eve were put out of the garden. They were put out of the land. And so the question was there any hope? Would there be any hope? Was this it? Was this the chance that we had and we blew it? Well, clearly not. So we have restoration. in terms of the third section. And that's important because it seems that Matthew now focuses upon each of those things. So the passage that we have now focuses upon the giving of a son. And then in chapter 2, we have this thing about a king. Who is this king that is born? And Herod, of course, gets very upset and he wants to destroy the king. So they're focusing on the king. But then after that, we also have the wise men, of course, the Magi, and him having going into Egypt, exile, and then being brought back in deliverance. So these categories that Matthew speaks about, now he addresses more particularly. And so we want to look then this morning at the Son of Promise, this seed that was so prominently promised in the Old Testament, not only, of course, to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, but then also down the road to Abraham himself and to others afterwards, all the way up to, of course, David himself. So this promise, the Son of Promise, is what Matthew focuses our attention to this morning in this passage. And the first thing that we want to focus upon is this, that the Son of Promise was not something that we could deliver in and of ourselves. It was impossible for us to do. We couldn't provide ourselves with the Son of Promise, even though, of course, people tried. In this case, of course, the problem was that Mary wasn't married. Now, you may think, well, that's not a problem these days. In fact, you just have to say, a great number of children are born out of wedlock. But in terms of the righteous works of God, that is not an option. And it wasn't an option for Mary. Mary wouldn't engage in that kind of activity, and neither would Joseph, given the fact that he was ready to divorce her because she was found to be with child. It was impossible. And that's the way it was in the Old Testament. You remember when Abraham and Sarah were promised a son? It was, humanly speaking, it was impossible. He was 100, she was 90. I mean, it's not going to happen. And they knew it. And so though they waited for a number, you know, for a period of time, eventually it dawned upon them that this is, you know, it's not happening. Well, maybe God expects us to do it. And so you remember the plan that Sarah came up with, which was, well, why don't you go into my servant, Hagar, and have a child by her? And Abraham did. And they received Ishmael. And when God reminded them that it was a son of promise that he said would come, Abraham said that Ishmael might live. In other words, it's already done. Let Ishmael be the one. And God said, no. We know that he had anything against Ishmael. But he said, no, he's not the one I promised. This isn't the way that it's going to happen. No, you're going to have a son. You and Sarah are going to have a son. And of course, as you know, they laughed. Well, Sarah laughed. And then she denied it. And then, of course, the Lord said, well, next year you're going to have a son. And, I mean, that was completely beyond any realm of possibility for them. But it happened. In a year's time, they had a son. And his name was Isaac. He was the son of promise. And later on, of course, we have similar situations, not as extreme as this one, with the line that they, you know, had trouble having children. Isaac, for example, was quite old, and his wife Rebecca was kind of concerned that she wasn't having children. And then she did. So here we have similar surroundings then, that the angel comes to Mary and says that she was found with, in the other Gospels, of course, the angel comes and says to Mary that she's going to have a child, and she's kind of completely baffled. How is it possible? I don't know a man. How is it possible? And the angel said, no, you are going to have a son. And it's going to happen not because of your scheming, right? Not because you're going to bring it about, but it's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, that you're going to receive this son of promise, this son that God is promising and God will bring about, not by human help, as Abraham and Sarah tried, but through the power of God himself. And it wasn't going to be through some unlawful means, some immoral act, again, as Abraham and Hagar engaged in, but rather it was going to be according to God's righteousness. And so the angel is communicating to Mary this plan that Mary has no clue how in the world this is going to become a reality. Never happened before and never will. This is not in our ability to provide. But what is impossible with men is possible with God, absolutely possible with God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of promise, this seed that we needed, that Adam needed, that Abraham needed, isn't something that we can bring about by ourselves. Redemption isn't something that we can bring about ourselves. And yet many people try. All kinds of avenues that they utilize to bring about peace between God and themselves, usually doing good works, or saying certain things, or doing certain things. No, it's impossible, absolutely impossible. Why do I make the jump from the seed to salvation? Because that's what the seed was all about. That was the purpose for the seed. He was going to what? Bring enmity between the woman and the serpent, between the devil and us, and break that friendship so that we might be brought into friendship with God once again. That's why. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. That's why he is the seed. But you cannot manufacture that seed. The gospel comes in the form of a person, not some practice, not some principles that you can believe in. No. It comes to us through a person. And that person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have no right to demand him. And we certainly can't substitute him for somebody else at all. So if we couldn't do it, then how is it accomplished? Well, it's divinely accomplished, of course. He's a son of promise. That is, he's someone that is given to us. He's someone that is promised to us. And that's what the angel brings, of course, to Mary. Given the circumstances, Mary would face censure, of course. And that's exactly what happened when she was with child. And Joseph found out, what was his reaction? I mean, people say, oh, no, he was the son of Joseph and Mary. Well, this is kind of a strange reaction on Joseph's part when it says he was a just man. And what was he planning to do? He was planning to divorce her. Of course, you understand in the New Testament times that people were considered married like our engagement. But more than that, because engagement isn't official, right? You don't go to the government and get a piece of paper and say, we're engaged. I mean, you give them a ring, which is more expensive. But nevertheless, it's not something legally binding, right? But then it was. In fact, in some practices, and certainly it was when I was growing up, my sisters were engaged, equivalent, but they were actually married. They went to the registry office and got married. I mean, they were legally married, even though the wedding wasn't till the following year yet. So they were legally married, and so if they were going to break that relationship, it would have to require a divorce. But even though they didn't live together, well, here it was here. Joseph and Mary were married in that sense, but they weren't living together. And so when Joseph finds out that she is expecting, then he assumes that she's been unfaithful. And so he is going to go ahead and end the marriage, divorce her, put away privately. So any thoughts that they were immoral and had a child wouldn't make sense, right? She would say, hey, hello, takes two, how dare you blame me, right? And it wasn't, right? And nobody came forward and said, yeah, the child's mine, right? No. It was to be divinely brought about. And, of course, the angel tells Mary that. Right, when Mary objects that she doesn't know a man, yes, she was married, but she wasn't living with him. How can this possibly happen? Well, God would do it. Just like Abraham and Sarah were dead as far as having children were concerned. And yet they had. They did have children. How? Well, by God's power. And so Joseph is told not to follow through with his act because his suspicions are unfounded. It wasn't the fact that she had been immoral, unfaithful. This was the plan of God. This was God's action. God had given her this child. And therefore, he was to be by her side. And he was, in fact, to take her home with him as his wife, but not know her until the Lord Jesus Christ was born. So he took her to his home, but they did not live as husband and wife until the Lord Jesus Christ was born. But again, we may say, well, how does that happen that a woman becomes with child without the normal human process? Well, that is what we understand from the scriptures, that it was what we call a virgin birth. And you may say, yeah, but that we can't explain that. That doesn't happen. It's almost like make-believe. Which is kind of amusing, because God made this vast universe, and Adam and Eve, I mean, where did they come from? There was nobody before them.
So how did God create human beings in the first place? Well, we're told, aren't we? He took some dirt from the ground and he made a body out of it, and then he breathed into it and he became a living soul. And then he took a rib out of Adam and formed Eve. So this is the same God that we're now saying, a woman having a child, I mean, how is that possible? I mean, as I said, it's ridiculous to even raise that question. If he can make people from the dirt of the ground, he can certainly make a woman with the whole body be pregnant. Absolutely. And so Mary, without a relationship with her husband, God implanted her with a seed. The power of the Almighty will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And I will grant you, I will give you this child. After all, that's what the Old Testament said, isn't it? Behold, a virgin shall be with child. And that was a sign. We'll be looking at that this evening. That was a sign to the king. What sign would it be if it was just a woman having a baby in a regular way? I mean, that happens millions of times a year. How would you ever tell, oh, this is the sign that the Lord, that God spoke to us about? How would you ever tell? You wouldn't be able to tell. But a virgin to be with child? Never happened before? It will never happen again? That is a sign. That's a sign that nobody can blame God and say, well, we didn't know. We didn't know. You did know. Because it never happened. And it stands out. And it's been written down through the ages for all to read. And everybody knows. Isaiah 7:14. Though they may not believe it, I mean, that's the same thing they do with all the miracles in the Bible, right? They don't believe them. And then you think, well, what concept do they have of God? Yes, we believe in God, but he can't do anything. And yet, staring us in the face is his handiwork that we can't even understand fully yet, nor ever will. But it's so vast, so, you know, fantastic. The more you study, the more you realize how beyond your ability it is to understand it. And then we say, you can't possibly walk on water. You can't possibly heal someone. You can't possibly feed 5,000. I mean, what concept of God do people have then? If he's just simply like us and restricted by whatever we are restricted with. So we use that criteria. If we can't understand it, if we can't do it, then it's impossible. No. God is almighty. He's beyond us. He's supernatural. Beyond nature in that sense. And so, just as he gave children to Sarah and Abraham, in fulfillment of his promise of a seed, so he fulfills that ultimately and finally to Mary and Joseph. He grants them a child, a son, without their doing it, without their involvement. And so that's the way salvation is for you and for me. You're not going to bring it about. God's not going to give you instructions. He didn't leave instructions with Mary and say, look, you do this, this, and this, and you'll have a child. He didn't leave instructions for Sarah and Abraham. No, he said, I've made the promise. I'm going to fulfill it. So God has made a promise to us too, that he will forgive our sins through the Savior that he will provide. And so we have to embrace that Savior? As Abraham and Sarah embraced the Son of Promise, and Mary and Joseph embraced the Son of Promise, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or we set it aside and say, forget it, I'm not interested. But then we lose out. Because that's the way of salvation that Christ has promised and fulfilled in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this promise then comes to Mary and Joseph. And so in due time, they gave birth, she gave birth, and she had a son, just as God promised. But there's something special about this son. It was God's son. It was a birth of God's son. And so Joseph is instructed not only to take Mary to be his wife and take her home and not live as husband and wife, but also that when the child is born, that he is to give the child the name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Well, that's, you know, kind of, I mean, not many parents would want to call their children God with us. I mean, it's sacrilegious, right? But that's exactly what they were told to do. Emmanuel. Call your child Emmanuel. And again, why? Well, because God doesn't want you to miss it. God doesn't want you to be ignorant of the fact that he has fulfilled his promise by sending this son, the son of promise, this seed that was going to deliver us from our sins. And so the Lord Jesus Christ received that name. Not only Jesus, the Savior, but also Emmanuel, God with us. And John, of course, speaks about that in his gospel in more theological terms, when he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. No one has ever seen God at any time. But we have seen him in the face of his Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity. We have seen God. So the Lord Jesus Christ is God come down to earth in order to rescue us, in order to deliver us, in order to break that hold that the devil has upon us, and to lead us back into fellowship with him and his Father. In this season, of course, people will engage in all kinds of activities. But you can see unbelief at work so clearly. In other words, if they sing those things at all, and of course many want to change it to some winter celebration of something, and they don't really want to even speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he comes in carols, it's just unfortunate for them. But nevertheless, they do it because, as I say, they used to, but I think more and more, some are not even doing that. And so they want to dump the whole thing and replace it with something else. Whereas before, people did do those things, they just didn't believe them, but they did go through the actions. But now it's becoming more and more blatant. So we don't want any symbols, right? Especially in the public square. We don't want any symbols that somehow connect whatever we're doing with some faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they're so bent on rejecting these things. And yet God provided these wonderful events and had them written down in order that people may understand that this problem, these problems that we've had all along from Genesis on, all the way through of humanity, this struggle that we've had, this enmity that we experience and the misery that we experience in our life and this darkness that we live under, all a result because of our sinful actions. But God is merciful. God has promised to end that. God has promised to help us. God has promised to deliver us. And he said, I'm going to send you help. I'm going to send you the seed. And he's going to do that for us. And here he is. Here he is. My son. The Savior of the world. And through him, you can have fellowship with me as you had fellowship with him when he walked this earth. It was God in our midst. And he comes to make that a permanent reality in our lives. That we might live in fellowship with God. That we might return to the Garden of Eden. That we might walk with God. That we might know him and love him. And that we may forever dwell with him in eternity. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has come to do. And this was the first part. For him to come. The person, the deliverer to come. Of course he had a whole ministry to do it. He had to carry out this ministry and die on the cross. But the joy that we have at this season is that God has come. He has come. He will never fail in his mission. So we celebrate the fact that he's come. And though he's a little baby, we celebrate a little baby, we take into account everything that this baby is going to do. So he comes to be your Savior, to end that enmity because of your sin, to pay for that sin in full, so that we might, as I say, be united to God. But people of God, if we don't believe him, believe who he is, just like Herod didn't, and try to kill him, just like the Jewish leaders didn't, and try to kill him, if we don't recognize who he is, we're going to stand opposed to him every step of the way. We're going to oppose him in everything that he says and everything that he does. We're going to oppose him all the way to the cross, and we're going to say he isn't the Son of God and he ought to be put to death. That's what we're going to do. So this season is important for you to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is the seed of promise, and for you to celebrate and rejoice, and then, either reading through scriptures of what he did and where he leads us to, or in terms of following the church calendar, from now on all the way to Easter, you're going to hear all that he did, and finally the sacrifice that he paid for you. But if you don't believe who he is, then all of those things you're going to continue to reject and turn away from. And eventually, you're going to reject the only way of salvation that there is. We don't want anyone to experience that. And so we call your attention to this fact, that the Lord Jesus Christ was born to Mary as a virgin birth, because he wasn't the son of Joseph, physically speaking. He was the Son of God. The one promised for centuries. The one that you ought to have been waiting for. The one that Adam and Eve were waiting for. The one that Abraham was waiting for. The one that all God's people in the Old Testament were waiting for and looking forward to. And he finally came. And in a way that nobody, but no one, could deny. People of God, embrace him. Embrace him. And look to him and see what he has done for you. And by believing in him, experience that reconciliation with God. And you receive that wonderful salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for sending your Son. We thank you that he humbled himself to take on human nature, to become a baby, in order that he might live a life of obedience, that he might
provide for us a righteous life with which we could be dressed, with which our sinful lives could be once and for all covered legally according to your justice. And our Father in heaven, we're thankful that because of that, He has set us free from the bondage of the devil. That through that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are accepted by you back into your fellowship, back as your children that can live with you and fellowship with you day by day. Our Father in heaven, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ may be just as precious to us as He was to Adam and Eve and the hope that He brought, as well as to Abraham and Sarah and the hope that they had and the joy that flooded their hearts at the promise that the Lord would give them a seed, and through that seed all the families of the earth would be blessed. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we might see that the Lord Jesus Christ is God among us, and that He leads us into redemption and to life eternal. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this precious gift, and we pray that it would fill our hearts with joy and hope and peace. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, that you would bless us further as we worship and adore you this day. For we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from